I'm thankful, as you are thankful, that the Lord always keeps His word. And He fulfills every promise. One of the things that you can be sure of about the Lord is that He is faithful. Your past, your present, your future, the Lord is faithful. And I have been looking at Daniel chapter 9, and I want to go to this passage. And Daniel chapter 9 is the 70 weeks of Daniel, but I want to look at Daniel's prayer. And we've talked about the 70 weeks in our Bible Institute, but this prayer is a very interesting prayer. And because of the way in which Daniel approaches God. And I think it's an important way for us to approach God. But if you'll notice at the beginning of these verses, Daniel is looking at time. And he recognizes a truth concerning the time of the captivity. And Scripture reads, Daniel chapter 9, verse 1, it says, "In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord, given through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord to make request by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes." And so he recognized that they were to be in captivity for 70 years because Israel had not observed, and Judah had not observed the sabbatical year for over half the time they were in the land. And so God said, "I'm going to give the land rest for those 70 years that you missed. And so you're going to be in captivity for 70 years. So Daniel's marking the calendar. And as he's marking the calendar and as he's getting older, he recognizes that the 70 years is complete or is nearing completion. And so he begins to pray. But it's interesting the way in which he prays. And I want you to observe this because he could pray something like this. He could say, "Lord, we've been here for 70 years." And Daniel was the first of the captives to go into captivity. There were three times in which Jerusalem was conquered. The last time it was destroyed, but there were three times. And Daniel was with the first group that went into captivity. So he could say, you know, we've been here a very long time. And you said that after 70 years, we'd go back. So, it's 70 years. It's time for you to be faithful to your promise. And he could have said that we have suffered a great deal here. This has been a difficult 70 years. And I'm tired of it, but it's difficult. And then he could also say, and the justice, the requirements have been fulfilled. So Lord, we're ready to go back. So it's time, and you promised, and you said, so now it's time for you to perform. And that might be the way that he would pray, because the expectation is when the Lord gives his word, the Lord fulfills his word. And Daniel knows that truth, but it's interesting to see how Daniel prays, because he approaches the Lord. And I want you to observe this. I'm going to read his prayer, but I want you to note how he approaches the Lord pleading the sinfulness of the people. I mean, really, when you look at this prayer, this prayer could be written at the beginning of the captivity, not at the ending of the captivity. Because if I'm hearing Daniel pray and I'm listening to him, I'm saying, Daniel, if you keep praying this way, you know, the Lord's going to leave the people there forever. Because you're pleading the sinfulness of the people and the unworthiness of the people. And then he pleads the righteousness of God. Now, let me just look at this passage. And as I'm reading, observe the many times he says we are a sinful people and we are continually a sinful people. So he doesn't say we were a sinful people, we've learned our lesson, so we're ready to go now. He says we have been a sinful people, we are a sinful people, and the expectation is we're going to continue to be a sinful people. Notice how he prays. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, so he's confessing the sins, so it should focus on that. But again, notice his words. O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. Let me just say something about that. I'm going to try to read through this, but I'm going to stop. The law is a conditional covenant. A conditional covenant, it's unlike any of the other covenants, but it's a conditional covenant which says, I will bless you if you obey me. Based on the condition of your obedience, I will bless you. And if you're not obedient, I'm going to judge you. I will send you into captivity. It's a conditional covenant. So he's praying in light of this conditional covenant. The new covenant, the covenant that you are under, is not a conditional covenant. It has responsibilities, the responsibility to hear, the responsibility to believe, the responsibility to obey. But this new covenant is based on God's provision. It's not based upon your or my performance. But here he says, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity and done wickedly and rebelled by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is to this day. To the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in the countries to which you have driven them because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord God belongs mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such never has been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore, the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us, for the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name, as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sin and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all who are around us. I read that prayer and I say, that prayer is reason to condemn them in the past and to condemn them now and with the expectation of coming condemnation. I'm not sure that's the prayer of we want out, get us out of here. He says, Lord, there's not anything that you can see in us that would cause you to deliver us. So what he's saying is, this whole matter rests upon your promise. But then he pleads for deliverance. And notice these last most important words. He says in verse 17, "Now therefore, our God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, and for your city and your people who are called by your name." So he takes this whole situation and he says, look at your city, look at your sanctuary. But as you look at these things, don't look for human merit in us. Don't look for worthiness in us. But rather, we're calling upon you for your great compassion. Your great compassion. So hear and forgive and listen and take action. Not because of us, but because of you. And that's a great way to pray because you take the promises of God, even the time promises that are given here, where God is sure to act because he said he would act, and yet Daniel comes and he says, I see what you're about to do, and I know that you're doing it not because of us, but because of you, and because you're a righteous God, and because you are holy. And so he says, you can look on your city and your people who are called by your name, and please hear and forgive and listen and take action. Now look at this. I say this is a wonderful pattern for us to pray as we are thankful to God. Because thanksgiving is really the thankfulness that is expressed to God for what he does because of his mercy, not because of our worthiness. And we can look at our own lives and say, when you came to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you came before him pleading not for your goodness and not because of who you are and the things that you've done for God, but you stand before God and say, I am unworthy and I am a sinner before you. But you are merciful and you are forgiving. Please, God, save me. And when we approach the Lord for our country, it's the same thing. We look at our country and we can't plead the merits of our country and the merits of the people of our country. We can't even plead the merits of our own hearts before God. And God says, you come and you plead based upon the mercy in the heart of God. Likewise, when you pray for your own life and your own situation that you're in and the needs and the difficulties that you face, plead with God based upon his heart. Plead with God based upon his mercy. And thanksgiving is the recognition that everything, every benefit that you have, every good and perfect gift comes from him because of his heart, because of God. And that's why we as a people can be thankful in every situation that we're in. Because our hope is not in our situation. Our hope is not in our own hearts. Our hope is in the heart of God. And Daniel has every reason to pry the blessing out of God's hand. To just pull it from him. He said, you said 70 years. 70 years is completed. Give the blessing that you promised. He could be that forceful with God because God always keeps his word. But instead of being forceful with God, he's on his knees before God because this is the holy and righteous God. And what he's about to do is not because of us and not because we plead, but because of the God who gives mercy and because the God who has a merciful heart. We plead with God based upon the heart of God. That's a great prayer. So as you think about the situations in your life, the hopeless situations in your heart and the hopeless situations in your life, come before God as an unworthy individual, pleading for the worthiness that is in the heart of God. And come before Him and seek the blessings that only He can give. Our hope really is in the Lord. And we can be thankful because the God who promises is the God who provides. And He is always faithful to His word. And there will never be a time in all of human history where God has ever been unfaithful to a single part of His word for any single one of us. He's a faithful God. And our hope is fixed upon Him. But let us bow before Him as the sinners that we are and the unworthy individuals that we are, hoping for the mercy and the grace that only comes from the heart of God. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your heart. We thank You for the blessings that we receive from You. We're thankful for the way in which You direct our lives, though that is not easy. But we know that You are in control, You are accomplishing Your purposes, that You are always good, You are faithful, that You are merciful, that You are forgiving. And we come before You to plead the merits of Your own heart, to fulfill the promises that You have made. We are not worthy, You are worthy. Our blessings come forth from Your hand. Lord, we pray for the blessing that only You can give. We ask Your blessing to be upon us today as we gather together with families and with friends. May our hearts delight in You. We hope in You, we trust in You, we ask for You to see and to move and to bless in our lives, not because of us, but because of Your gracious and loving heart. We ask Your blessing to be upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.